It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, we're ready as always on Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. My brain still hurts a little bit after the, me and Wiggy talking about the kickoff rules? Listening to you two on the kickoff rules was something.
We figured it out, though, but we landed the plane at the very end. We're trying to figure out why, you know, how do you get more kickoffs, because they're giving the... It's new rules for everybody. It's not just where you line up, but now a touchback puts it on the 30, and he's like, well, if you want more kick returns, put the ball on the 20. I'm like, no, I think you'd need the 40, and then it was... We talked about that for 5 straight minutes, but figure it out.
It was that whole break.
It was the entire break.
The whole break was you two negotiating where... The dynamic
I started
kickoff.
Off by telling him to watch Oddity. We always give our like a movie recommendation. Uh-huh. He's like, all right, I'll watch that. And then it turned into how to get more kick returns. I think we figured it out.
What's Oddity about?
Oddity's like a...
Oddly the dynamic kickoff.
It's a horror movie. Yeah. It's a really good horror movie, which I encourage everybody to watch. Davey and I did an episode of Dork on, which will be out tomorrow. But the kickoff rule, didn't you think there were going to be more kickoff returns this weekend than there really was? I think we were sold a bill of goods.
I saw the stats. Oh, for sure. Sold a bill of goods. Mm-hmm. I saw the stat. It was something like 75% last year were touchbacks. This year it was like 69%, something like that. Somewhere in there. Nice. And so, I mean, it helped a little bit. You got the return by Crazy Eyes DJ Dallas there.
Oh, yeah.
But otherwise, you didn't get much out of it.
I think putting the ball on the 30, though, it's like just here's another rule for the offense. It's like, I think it's already offense, which I like. I'm pro offense, but they don't need to get the ball at the 30.
No, like 35, 40,
50, put it on the 50 yard.
Red zone. Start the opposing team's red zone.
Like, seriously, just give them points. Like, they don't need to start it on the 30, but like, so many teams are just like, yeah, we're good. Like, all these kickers just blasting it through the end zone.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I guess the defenses are going to... That's a 70-yard
We got to make that a play. So anyway, that's the crossover live on air here on Jones and Keefe.
We should record those.
Negotiating the dynamic kickoff and where it starts. We start today with the Patriots. Their win yesterday, 16-10, over the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll get to the state of the AFC East. Pats are in the mix. They're real in the mix. And so you have a Thursday night game between the Bills and Dolphins. You have a game looming between the Patriots and Jets. A lot of early season action in the division that, if it breaks right for the Patriots, could go a long way.
Yep.
So we have Monday night reaction on the show that we'll get to. We have a state of the AFC East that we'll get to. I want to get to Alex Van Pelt's offense as well and how sustainable it is to win by running the football when your offensive line was better than we thought, but still nothing to write home about. Can you dominate there? But Gerard Mayo right off the top, and we played this clip for you yesterday. We never really got into what he said specifically about Robert Kraft. And that's where I want to start today. How much credit should we give the Krafts, Robert and Jonathan? Because I've said a number of times, I think Jonathan is currently running the day-to-day. That's a guess. That's my suspicion. I don't know that for sure. And so the Krafts, plural. How much credit do we give them for yesterday, where all offseason we're second-guessing their approach in free agency, bringing back bill guys, not extending themselves for any outside free agents? I chastised them for not going the extra mile for Calvin Ridley. It turns out they did have the best offer financially for Brandon Ayuk. Their spending is up, although they didn't bring in anybody from outside. Spending's up. Gerard Mayo, for 1 week, looked like it worked.
Yeah.
We criticized the Alex Van Pelt hire. Looked like it worked. They stayed out of the quarterback decision. Jacoby Brissett plays week one. They didn't force the rookie in there. How much credit do we give the Krafts for the Patriots starting 1-0?
I think you have to give them some credit for sure. I mean, this was a really tough decision to move on from Bill, right? Like, it was very polarizing. Like, I think there were many people that thought, all right, it was time to move on. There were a lot of people that thought it should be Bill's job forever. And I think there's a couple different things that you got to have to separate, you know, because the Dynasty, that documentary, did so much ill will towards Kraft and his side that Bill Belichick became a sympathetic figure.
Yeah.
Whereas as the season was unfolding a year ago and they're yo-yoing the quarterbacks, they have all these bad drafts, he wasn't very sympathetic then. But then you fast forward a couple of months.
Just think of the image of the final game against the Jets standing there with like the Darth Vader mask on.
Yep.
Rest in peace, James Earl Jones.
Yes.
But you know, he's standing there like it's just completely unlikable. And then the Dynasty humanized him.
Just spins it the other way.
And made him sympathetic. You're right.
And I don't know if I love just the the process that it took where they're like, yeah, we knew Gerard Mayo was the head coach a year ago, and we even put it in his contract. And you're like, wait, what the hell's going on? So, like, did Bill know that? Like, how you got to where you are was very strange. But if you separate the dynasty and you just say, all right, Robert Kraft made a really difficult decision, which clearly not everybody was in favor of, but it was time to move on from Bill Belichick. And Gerard Mayo, there's a lot of questions. Anytime you have a rookie head coach, we saw across the league on Sunday, you see it every year in the league, there's these guys that get these opportunities that weren't even coordinators at some times, and they're head coaches. How is he going to look? And he was good. Like, it was one game, but he passed the test. He was very good. The Alex Van Pelt one, kind of strange because he was the 13th choice or like the 12th or 13th interview that they had, kind of like a last man standing. He was the Craig Breslow of offensive coordinators. Like, you want the job? You do? Okay, it's yours. And so, but
no backseats.
No, you have to take it. You have to come in here and take it. Like, you're getting paid by Cleveland, so you're welcome here anytime. But, you know, those are two moves that certainly weren't met with unanimous applause. And for one game, like we said this though all along, winning cures a lot of things. It's easy to rip every single move you make when you're losing, every like way you handle a press conference, every single thing you do while you're losing. But when you're winning, people will kind of look the other way on a lot of things. So after 1 week, I think you have to say, yeah, it was time to move on. I mean, the way we talk about, not we, but like the way Bill Belichick has discussed this whole offseason, it was like they didn't go 4-13 last year. Like, they were horrible. They were one of the three worst teams in the NFL last year. So they needed to make a change. And it seems like, even though it's just 1 week, it seems like Gerard Mayo might know what he's doing.
Yeah, so the Mayo thing, I give Mayo a lot of credit for game one. The players are ready to run through a brick wall, as we talked about yesterday. Let's see. I'm more willing to see out the Gerard Mayo thing and see if that's a win. And for 1 week, chalk it up as a win. I want to follow that more. I want to follow the whole quarterback decision as well, but this is where I want to give them the most credit because I didn't think they could do this. And again, just to reiterate the comment from Gerard Mayo we played off the top, he said, I want to thank the Kraft family, Robert, all of them, Josh, didn't name Jonathan by name.
Oh, interesting.
But okay. You know, I wanted to thank all the Krafts.
Yep, every Kraft.
For the opportunity to be here and not getting in the middle of anything we do football-wise. Pretty much handed the keys over to Elliot, pretty much, and myself, and the rest of the staff. I'm appreciative of the opportunity, blah, blah, blah. So basically saying they let us make the decisions. Now, look, he said pretty much let us, stayed out of the way, pretty much. I'm sure they have a hand in something, just as all owners do, and they don't want to look like they're heavy-handed or meddling. Yeah. Robert Kraft is very sensitive to that. Jonathan Kraft maybe as well.
But do you think Mayo was told to say this?
Well, perhaps. He could have been.
Yeah.
But here's where I do give him credit. Okay. This is what I give him credit for. They didn't force the quarterback decision.
No.
And I fully expected him to force the quarterback decision. Now, look, selfishly, I wanted Drake May in week one. I think Drake May's ready. But I give them credit for letting the football guys there, whoever that is, Wolf, Van Pelt, Mayo,
McAdoo,
Ben McAdoo, you know, the whole offensive staff,
everybody.
TC McCartney,
TC,
all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I give him credit for letting them make the decision because you know ownership wants to see the big, shiny, number three overall pick.
Oh, yeah.
So if I'm going to give him credit for anything, that's the one. Even more so than Mayo. Staying out of the quarterback decision, I'm sure they influenced the pick at number three. But they're not forcing their football guys to trot Drake May out there week one. And look, Brissett wasn't awesome, but it paid off in a win in week one. I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah, it's funny because for owners across all sports, it's like the really good owners don't do anything. or they do everything. Like, meaning like they supply all the money and they're like, hey, spend what you want. But we always compliment the ones that are hands off. So it's gonna be a weird situation for those guys to be in. And so Robert Kraft, over the long history of him owning the team, has kind of gone both ways with it. Right? Like, he was maybe too hands-on with Bill Parcells, and Bill Parcells called him out on it, and then it ended really poorly. There's the image, and this is going back 30 years, but him, you know, with the stopwatch timing to Bucky Jones, right? Like, that's an image of Robert Kraft way back in the 90s, whereas with Bill Belichick, for the most part, it was, you're the guy. Like, you're kind of prickly at times. You don't always give me the answers. There's a couple of cheating scandals mixed in, but, like, I'm going to let you do what you do. I'm going to call you out on it every once in a while, but I'm going to let you do what you do. Until maybe the end, right? That's sort of still up for debate about the Mac Jones selection, Mac Jones playing, and all that stuff. But for the real course of the successful dynasty, it seemed like Bill Belichick was allowed to do that. And now you're saying, all right, you're turning it over to a guy who's never been a head coach, a guy who's never been head of a team personnel, a guy who's barely called plays. Like, all these guys are in new spots. It would have been pretty easy. I'm with you on this. It would have been easy to say,
Get the kid in there.
We're starting the number three pick. Yeah. Like, Drew Bledsoe started right away, and there were some lumps, but overall that was the right move. And, like, look at this. And no, he let him stand up. Now, if they lose week one, you wonder how quick they are to change tune. But whatever, that didn't happen. They won game one, and they're going to, I think, allow them to keep the plan. The other thing, I don't know how much credit you give them for this, because they still haven't landed one of these big fish that are out there in the sea, in the deep, deep ocean, the deep blue sea. But Brandon Ayuk, if you choose to believe that report, that's a lot of money. That's a lot more money than they offered a lot of other players in
Breer,
the past.
Breer said
80
what?
Million?
North of 80 million.
Guaranteed, right? Yeah. Obviously, the other number's bigger. But if he got 76 guaranteed to stay with the Niners and drop a touchdown pass last night, that you would get...
Is that a bitter fantasy manager there?
No.
Is that, oh, it's not.
I don't have him. I don't have him. Just pointing it out. Hit your hands, you got to catch it, sir. But 80 million, like, if they offered that, that's the other thing that Kraft has been criticized for over the last couple of years. Like, you were pretty quick to blame Belichick. Like, that was one of the lines I did not like, when he was saying, you know, the money's never been an issue here. And in fact, there were times where I was trying to tell Bill to get, like, more expensive players. You're like, wait,
come
what?
On.
Like, what on
come
earth?
On.
Like, that's a little strong, right? Yeah. You're laying it on a little thick. But
here's money, and Bill's like, I don't want to spend
it. More. We need more players. We need more money. Like, give that guy a raise. But so if they really were on Brandon Ayuk, that's great. You're going to have to get one of these guys sooner rather than later. But yeah, like, they are kind of allowing patience, which is a bit of a surprise. I don't know. I certainly didn't see that coming.
Yeah, so look, we spent a lot of time talking about the team on the football field. We'll do that today as well at 617-779-7937. One of the ways you can get in touch with Jones and Keefe, you can also text the show, 37937. You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at Jones and Keefe. But I'm curious about that Mayo comment. Like, after the game, and you bring up something interesting there, Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
Was he forced to say it? Where the Kraft's like, hey, make sure you let him know we weren't meddling, we weren't involved. I want to see through the Mayo hire. It's 1 week. Like, it's a new coach. You see teams all the time. Interim coaches, new coaches, win in week one, ready to run through a brick wall for the new guy. Let's see if that lasts. But I'm willing to see it out. And I was very anti the Mayo hire. I'm impressed with week one. I am. But that one I want to follow more. I also want to follow what you're talking about, the receivers. And Mike Reese had an interesting note on the Patriots spending we'll get to here coming up. But I will give him credit for staying out of the quarterback situation. I wanted May to start, and if I were the owner, I would have been like, he's starting. I give him some credit. I do give them credit for letting the football decision makers make that decision. But I need to see more from the Krafts, because, you know, most of this offseason, Keith, most of the last couple of years, I don't think the way Kraft has run this team is that much better than the way John Henry is running the Red Sox. I really don't think it's
dissimilar,
and I need to see a lot more. But at least he stayed out of that decision, which I like.
Yeah, all the most exciting players they added to the team were from the draft.
Yep.
And, like, you had those draft picks, and those guys aren't making a ton of money as it compared to other guys around the league. You re-signed some players, but it wasn't really that exciting of an offseason, especially for a team that has all the cap space in the world, and you're coming off a 4-win team. I don't know if Gerard Mayo was told to say that, but I do think it's funny, because he is, in my opinion, like, a really truthful guy, and, like, he is going to say, like, what's on his mind.
Mayo?
Yeah, although I did maybe, I feel like I caught him in a lie, or he might have caught, so yesterday on the Greg Hill show, he was talking about, because Greg sort of started the interview being like, hey, like, you know, like I think I owe you an apology, or, like, all these people owe you an apology for, like, not counting you guys out.
I know 100%, I heard this too.
And he's like, I don't listen to any of that.
I don't hear the noise.
I was like, I thought he kind of said the other thing before about...
He definitely said the players hear the noise. He's like, oh, yeah,
they
use that.
But then he later said that. He's like, they hear everything, so I got to talk to them about that. But hear about what? So I don't know. I think maybe that's the message that he wanted to put out there, because maybe there's less questions to answer or whatever. But there's no way this guy, or I would even say most, you know, head coaches who are in their 30s or 40s ignore everything. Like, there's no way. This was a guy who was on TV, for God's sakes. Like, I'm sure, like, you don't have to watch everything. I'm not saying he's listening to every single second of all the shows, but stuff gets back to him. He has to know what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's what I'll give Gerard Mayo credit for on that, because I think he hears it. Everybody hears it.
Yeah.
I mean, his brother works for the team. I'm sure his family tells him about it. Friends tell him about, like, what's going on television, the radio, the newspaper, the whole thing. So he hears it. For him to say he doesn't hear it is one thing. I do like that he says he doesn't care about it. And we're all human beings. We all care about criticism on some level. But I think the him projecting that, yeah, say whatever you want. You're entitled to do it. I worked in the media. I was on that side too. I get it. You have a job to do. I communicate that to the players. I think that's a refreshing thing to hear.
Yeah.
It's not just, Bill, ignore the noise. We don't hear it. Of course you hear it.
Yeah, right. And then you use this bulletin board material.
Obviously you hear it.
That's your main motivator.
But don't care about it. All right, you probably still do, but say whatever. People have a job to do. I get it. I think that's a better approach.
Well, I thought the best thing he said a couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago, was when people were trying to be like, hey, it seems like there's a lot of like dysfunction or like miscommunication. And he's like, well, if that's what you guys think, fine. But if everybody in the locker room is on the same page, I don't care. So we were like, who's the quarterback? Like, if they announced the quarterback, he's like, well, if everybody in the locker room knows who the quarterback is, knows what the game plan is, I don't really give a rat's ass if some guy driving around or even on the radio is questioning the decision. If the 53 guys in the locker room are on the same page, that's all that matters.
Well, and let me agree with something you said, and I've heard Chris Curtis talking about as well. If they win, that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah.
So when they start 3-0.
Yeah, you got them down. You're the only guy that has them 3-0.
When they start 3-0, Keith.
Jets didn't look great last night.
Jets look bad. We'll get to it.
Yep.
When they start 3-0, all of that miscommunication about who the starting that won't matter.
They're going to run out of Gatorade for these baths if they're 3-0. I'll tell
that's
you that
true.
Much.
So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. Gerard Mayo, that decision by the Kraft. What do you give the Kraft's decision for? Credit for, rather, in their decision-making one game into the year. How much credit do they deserve? And maybe it's none. Maybe you disagree with giving them any early on after 1 week. You can jump in there. Here's another thing I want to follow. And it goes back to what you were talking about with the receivers. Mike Reese had a note on their spending on Sunday. Patriots ranked 14th in cash spending, having doled out a little over $250 million, according to the roster management system, which calculates every NFL contract. They've spent 67% of their cap space.
Two-thirds, for those of you keeping track.
That's the second lowest in the NFL behind the Broncos. Those numbers would have increased if they hit on big money pursuits of Calvin Ridley and Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
As for some of the league-wide context, the Browns, with Deshaun Watson, have spent the most money, almost $330 million, while the Raiders are under $200 million. The defending Super Bowl Chiefs are 11th at $267. So the Patriots are $10 million short of the Chiefs, just outside the top 10. The Browns lead the way in terms of cash spending. Basically, Patriots are middle of the pack in cash spending.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you can't never spend. There are floors you have to reach. The Patriots probably did some of that this offseason. I don't fully give them credit for the spending yet. I know some people want to do it. Oh, they tried on Ayuk. They tried on Ridley. They're middle of the pack in spending. They brought all their guys back, this and that. Yeah. That's another thing I want to see more of out of them before I give them full-blown credit.
No, it seems like it's trending in the right direction, but it's hard to be like, see, like they're doing it because, no, they've missed out on these guys. Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to get one just yet, and you know, at some point you're going to run out of opportunities, or you're going to have to do the thing where you're like, I think this is a good offer, and now you're going to have to go even higher.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to do the stupid money, but if the player's good, nobody's going to be complaining about the contract.
Make it so they can't say no.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Brandon Ayuk, 81 won't do it? How about 85?
Yep.
How about 88?
Yep.
And that's the game you got to play. 617-779-7937. How much credit are we giving the Crafts after 1 week? Gerard Mayo went out of his way to single them out by name. Well, Robert by name, not so much Jonathan.
No.
Which maybe we can dive into more of. Plus, Alex Van Pelt, his offense. You feel any better about it? And how sustainable is winning with a running game and defense in 2024? We'll get to all of that.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When Mayo was talking about the decision that he made, it stretches back to the entirety of since April. What have we seen? What's the toolbox look like? What's Jacoby able to do with the line of scrimmage? And there was an interesting aspect to the postgame yesterday. I think it was Stevenson said that he went to Jacoby Brissett and said, we got to run some gap runs. Start getting up the middle a little bit more. Jacoby Brissett went to Van Pelt and said that, look, I'm sure that Drake May could have done the same thing and transferred the knowledge, but Drake May's not ready to sit under center for 60 snaps either. So to me, it was invaluable to have a co-offensive coordinator on the field.
Tommy Curran, last night on Early Edition, NBC Sports Boston. We'll talk to Curran at high noon.
Woo!
Here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. A lot of ways you can watch the show. You can view us on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI or on YouTube on the live YouTube channels. Subscribe to WEEI. You can also seek out interviews like Tommy Curran or other segments here on Jones and Keefe by subscribing to the YouTube channel or the WEEI, rather, YouTube channel. So make sure you do that. We'll also do misleading. The leads from the Greg Hill Show, something we disagree with. We'll hit that coming up at 11:45 today, so mark it down. I thought that was an interesting answer from Curran on the Alex Van Pelt offense and why Brissett works well there. Brissett's willing to listen to Ramondre Stevenson. Hey, here's what I want to do. These runs aren't working. Let's hit some of these. Brissett relayed that information to Van Pelt, and then they leaned into it,
yep,
which I think reflects well on Van Pelt. I don't know how much it reflects well on Brissett. I get what Curran's saying there. He's a veteran. He understands maybe what to pick out and relay back to the coaching staff.
Yeah, maybe trust it a little bit more, right? You've seen it. He's been there, done that,
yeah,
I guess.
Drake May's like, oh, yeah, he relays it. They're either like, hey, man, buzz off, or maybe he doesn't have the wherewithal because he's got so much going on to not relay that.
Possible.
Fair point. I think some of the pre-snap stuff, I get what Curran's saying too. I don't want to go too far with what Brissett did. I liked how he was able to scramble and pick up plays with his feet. I was surprised at that.
Yeah.
I like how he largely managed things. Like, there wasn't a lot of pre-snap dysfunction, which I was worried about.
Mm-hmm.
But there weren't a lot of plays that were made there either.
No.
They didn't need to make a lot of plays, but there weren't a lot of plays we made there. I just don't want to go too far with that.
So I think this is the kind of offense you have to run and gives you a chance to win when you don't have a lot of talent. And that's it. So I'm not going to blame Gerard Mayo for the lack of talent. I'm not going to blame Alex Van Pelt for the lack of talent. This is what it is. It's at best an average offensive line, right? There's no good wide receivers for the most part. And maybe you can make an argument that one or two of them will be good. But right now, not great. The quarterback is what the quarterback is. And then you have Ramondre Stevenson, who's solid. So you feature the running back. Like, that's kind of what you have to do. Yesterday was a day for positivity because they won the game. And I certainly am one of many that did not think they were going to win the game. The reality is, this is not an offense that you're going to win a ton of games with. And it's not an offense that is going to have any kind of deep run in the playoffs. And that's not just for the Patriots. That's for anybody that kind of runs it this way. Like, it's 2024. You have to pass the ball. You have to. So last year, this is a quick little stat for you. This is the Rich Keefe stat of the day.
Oh, good.
Was this
from the
Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department?
It is from the Stats and Info Department.
Yeah,
nice.
They came up with this.
Good job.
So passing yards per game.
Uh-huh.
Regardless of quarterback, just team passing yards per game. The bottom five from last year. The five worst passing teams in the NFL.
Got to be the Pats.
Your New England Patriots.
Nice.
The Tennessee Titans.
Ugh.
The New York Jets.
Gross.
The New York Giants.
Ugh.
The Carolina Panthers. Those are, give or take, the five worst teams from last year.
Okay.
So like you have to be able to throw the ball. And on the one hand, you're like, hey, they can run it. Great. And they can run it. And the opponent knows that they're trying to run and they can still run it. That's impressive. But over the course of a season, you have to throw it. And I don't have a great deal of confidence that they can throw it. Right? Whether it be Brissett, whether it even be the offensive line protecting them for an entire game, or the receivers getting open and making plays. Like, that part of it is the reality.
Yeah, so we started off talking about the crafts and how much credit they deserve, and Van Pelt is all a part of that, right? You bring in Mayo, you bring in Elliot Wolf and empower Elliot Wolf in place of Belichick. Van Pelt feels like a Wolf guy. And so that all ties back to the crafts as well, and if you want to jump in on that, you can. 617-779-7937. How sustainable is that offense? I know you don't feel like it's sustainable to win running that way. The one thing I will say, and I said this briefly yesterday, and I'll reiterate, I do think it raises your floor a little bit.
I agree.
Like, if you were worried about them winning three games or four games and taking the under on 4.5 wins, being able to run and do what they did yesterday and not make mistakes, or I'm sorry, on Sunday.
Yep.
Maybe that takes you to a 6-win team. That's not great.
No.
But maybe that raises your floor a little more than we realize. I do think it takes away from your – you have to throw to win in 2024 in the NFL if you want to be a championship-caliber team or a team that's going to win in the playoffs. But that's not our goal for this team or our expectation anyway for this team.
No, and so, yeah, I think maybe you do raise the floor up a little bit. I mean, for example, and both teams could change by the time they play each other, but if you watched any of the Tennessee game on Sunday, Will Levis is a mess. Will Levis throws a pick six at the end of the game and is just – he looks – awful. So if you're going up against a team like that and your quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, isn't turning it over, isn't making these huge mistakes, and the other quarterback is,
mm-hmm.
that's a formula and a recipe to win.
Yeah.
The problem is you run into, you know, some of these serious teams that can score points in bunches, or if they get the lead on you, like, all right, now you're kind of scrambling. Like, now your eight-minute touchdown drive or field goal drive, as it ends up being more often than not, what's that going to do? All that does is bleed clock, and now you're still down by 10.
No, it's the extreme example, but the Tebow year, right? The Broncos won all these games.
Yeah.
But it
was crazy. Like that was a fun, wild season to watch how they were going to pull these games out of their hat. They even won a playoff game.
But the Patriots played them twice.
Yeah,
that year, the regular season and the playoffs.
Yeah, they destroyed them.
And once you got up two scores, they couldn't dig out of it.
As a quick aside, my favorite part of that whole year was all of the
that was a fun year.
NFL experts and like especially the former quarterbacks. They were going crazy. They were so mad that Tebow was winning. They're like, he can't throw. Yeah. He can't throw. And it's like, he just won again. This is the secret sucks. It's like, he just won. Oh, he just won a playoff game. He just won a playoff game with a walk-off touchdown pass. Now, they were right for the most part. He couldn't really throw.
Yeah.
He wasn't really like a modern-day quarterback. But he won like so many games, and they were all crazy.
You know?
Like, teams were fumbling. Like, a lot of it was his defense. But it was like... Yeah, that was talk about not sustainable, but it was fun to watch, and people were losing their minds talking about Tebow that year.
And you know how you know it was good? Because we're still talking about it a decade
still talking
later.
About
like,
it. Still,
and everybody knows exactly what you're
Dude,
talking
worst
about.
Worst quarterback ever. It's like, well, he did win a playoff game. We're like, no.
That's how you know it was good.
That was great.
617-779-7937. Bill Belichick loved himself some Tim Tebow. We'll get to Bill. Doesn't love talking about the Patriots these days, apparently. So we'll get to him coming up about 10 minutes from now. A head-scratching appearance on the McAfee Show yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't catch much of the Manning cast last night, but we'll get to Bill and his media appearances coming up here on Jones and Keefe. Meanwhile, let's get to some phone calls. Johnny's in Brooklyn. What's up, Johnny?
Jones, Keefe, how's it going this morning? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
The invasion of the body snatchers continues. I turned on the radio this morning, and there's Jones talking about how much credit to give to the crash.
It was a question, in fairness, but then he did turn around and give them credit.
So you're right. You're right.
The answer is zero, okay? 1-16, totally on the table.
No.
You know, I think the Bengals were, okay, fine. But the Bengals were one of the worst teams this weekend. I'm glad the Patriots won. And if you've turned over a new positive leaf, Jones, I'm here for it. But I'm just trying to get used to it is all. So,
no, that's fair.
Thank you, Johnny.
It's a question. Here's what I give the crash credit for. I thought for sure, and part of the reason I felt all along Drake May was going to start early, and he still might, is because the Crafts were going to get involved and force it. They didn't. And rookie quarterbacks played horribly in week one. They won with Jacoby Brissett, and they let their football guys make a decision. That's really all I'm giving them credit for. Jury's out on Mayo. I liked what I saw for one week.
Pretty good.
The spending, I don't want to give them too much credit for. I know some people are. I'm trying not to get ahead of ourselves on that one. But staying out of the quarterback decision? They could have forced it week one. They didn't. They deserve some credit for that.
Yeah, no, it is a classic. Like, you hire football guys, let the football guys make those decisions. Because if you don't, then it's like, why'd you even hire them?
If you don't want them to meddle.
Yeah.
And, like, I selfishly wanted them to meddle on this one and get Drake May in there. But I've said all along, they meddle. They'll get involved in decisions. They didn't on this one. That's what I'll give them credit for. Short of that, I'm not giving them a ton of credit for 1 week. Keith is in the truck. Go ahead, Keith.
Good morning, fellas. So, for this weekend, what it did for me is maybe they're a little closer to competing. I thought it was a 3-year build. It looks like if you throw a legit left tackle and a top 15 receiver, especially if making play, it looks like they may be able to compete and maybe get back to the playoffs maybe next year. You know, probably not this year, but maybe next year. So, it's a lot of young guys, Caden Walls, the two guards are young. This line could actually be a strength if they can get a top-end left tackle in next year's draft and then just add a number one receiver that may be closer than what we think.
So this is a good question, Keith. Keith had it. Keith, rather.
I'm confused.
I asked you yesterday, did you raise your ceiling a lot after 1 week? You said no.
Well,
for
game.
The season, a game.
I didn't have him beat Cincinnati, so I'll give him a game. I have to be consistent.
No one's going nuts, which is fine. It's one week. Bad teams win in week one all the time. Happens all the time.
Yep.
So I get that. Does it change like your rebuild expectations? Like if you thought, like Keith in the truck, it was going to be a 3-year rebuild, do you look at it and go, well, next year they should be a playoff team? Does it change your long-term outlook?
No, because I actually, as down as I was on this season, I did think that it was set up to where they should be able to compete next year. The NFL is kind of thrives off that. They want parity, you know, whether it's the last place schedule or obviously the way the draft works. Teams go from worst to first. Teams go from first to last. Like, that happens in the NFL. We weren't used to it because for 20 years, the Patriots just win the division and move on. But there was a lot of other movement, like, in other divisions. So I think a team can go from four wins to, even if it's just a five-win season this year, you know, whatever. But, like, to the caller's point, they beef up the left tackle. Let's say Drake May plays the second half of the season and it looks pretty good. I mean, yeah, you only need 9 wins to be a playoff team, or at least, like, knocking on the playoff door. I think next year that could be a reality. If the defense is good, if Mayo looks like he knows what he's doing, right, that's a big check mark, and we didn't know what the answer to that was. Sure, maybe they do land a top 15 receiver somehow, some way, right? Like, they've struck out so far, but if they get one of those guys, yeah, why not?
Yeah, playoffs next year should be in play. You know, whether if they win 9 games and they just miss it, I'll give it to them. But they should be an above 500 team that's in the mix for the playoffs next year. I already felt that way, but if you're adjusting that expectation, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
617-779-7937, a busy Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. As we said, we have misleading the leads from the Greg Hill Show. What do we disagree with? What do we want to push back on? That comes your way 1 hour from now at 11:45. We do it every day. We also do Kiefer Madness every Tuesday.
Woo!
On Jones and Keefe. That comes your way at 12:45, 2 hours from now. So mark that down. Coming up next, let's get to Bill Belichick. His appearance on the McAfee Show yesterday, very lacking in Patriots information.
Oh.
Why is that?
What's going on?
Let's get to it next.
Yeah, let's stick to football.
COVID game in Carolina. There was no fans at the end of the year. They obviously come in, lay an egg. Bryce Young, now the whole conversation's going to be about him. Let's move to some other games. Is there anything to gain if you're MCDC to be like, yeah, we can win the Super Bowl this year, or does it legitimize any of these big wins? Well, the thought of you just being a DC again and getting back in that thing was wild. Is this natural for these rookies? We will talk about Kyle Shanahan's offense later in this discussion, because massive Monday Night Football game.
That was Bill Belichick. The absence of Bill Belichick on the Pat McAfee Show yesterday. And you heard a lot of questions there from McAfee. A
lot of questions. Firing at him.
Just peppering him. Oh, what about being a DC?
Shanahan's offense.
What's going on in Carolina?
Yeah.
You know, the burning questions that we all want to know about from Bill Belichick.
Yep. First game in 20 years not coached by Bill Belichick this past weekend for the New England Patriots.
First time
he get brought up.
First time he's sat around and watched football for 50 years.
He's been in the league for 50 years.
He has been coaching. Yep. Finally gets to kick his feet up. You get his thoughts on the league.
Maybe the team he coached for 20 years.
Well, you would think.
Maybe.
One question. I'm reading from our guy Fitzy. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI.
Uh-huh.
We'll get to the AFC East. State of the division. We'll
AFC
get to Monday,
Beast.
Monday Night Football last night with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. We'll do that coming up shortly after 11. Our guy Fitzy on Twitter yesterday. This is where I first saw it.
Yep.
Because I didn't watch this full interview, and I'm glad I didn't. Fitzy tweeted out, "Did I just watch Bill Belichick on McAfee for almost 40 minutes and not a single question or mention of the Patriots with a massive upset in their first regular season game without Bill as a head coach? Or did I miss something?" He said.
40 minutes?
40 minutes.
So only two obvious questions.
There's only 32 teams in the league, Keith. And spend a minute on each team. You could ask a question on every single team. They didn't do that. And have some left over.
Well, you had to ask him if he was going to be a D coordinator again. No, so
had to get in that Panthers
question. All right, so here's the deal. So McAfee, people love him, people hate him, whatever. There's very little in between when it comes to McAfee. He does a lot of interviews, like his show. There's always different guests popping in and out of there. So the question would be two things. One, did McAfee somehow decide not to ask him a Patriots question?
No.
Or did Bill Belichick go on and say, hey, no Pats questions this week?
Bingo.
Because they won.
Bingo.
And I'm the most salty guy in the world about it.
Bingo.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like that too. Like, I like McAfee. I don't like watch the show, but like, I like the clips and whatever. I know people make fun of him, but I like McAfee. I feel like he for sure would have. Plus, he's got a guy on the show who's a huge Pats fan. Boston Connor.
I'm
pretty sure he would have asked anybody else about the Patriots.
They ask Boston-centric questions. It's a great point.
All the time.
They ask Boston-centric questions in like every interview because of Boston Connor.
Right.
And they don't ask one about the Patriots. You just nailed it. And like,
if they lost, though, first question.
Oh, didn't they miss
first
you, Bill?
First question.
How do you not even ask it? Is just like a, hey, I guess they don't miss you. Ha, ha, ha. And then never talk about it again.
He asked Vince McMahon tougher questions when he worked for the WWE.
Okay, so I say how. I know the answer. It's the same stuff that used to go on with Jim Gray and Tom Brady
Scratchy.
In his weekly interview. hey, this is off limits. We're not going to ask about this. Don't ask me about that.
How
here's what I want to talk about. No,
it's
embarrassing.
So embarrassing. You have six jobs and you can't talk about the Patriots after they win?
Because, Keith, none of it is about Bill and his analysis. None of it is about Bill and the X's and O's and what he knows. None of it's about that. It's all about Bill rehabbing his image to get back into the league. It's all mm-hmm. about Bill and what helps Bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about anything else. It's about Bill collecting a check and what helps Bill Belichick. That's it. And so coming in, talking about how the Patriots don't miss Bill, how the team's ready to run through a wall for the new guy, how they won and got more out of Bill's players than Bill could last year. None of that makes him look good. None of that helps Bill. None of that helps his image. None of that gets him rehired. And so Bill says, I'm not doing it. And McAfee says, whatever. I don't care. Bill Belichick's on the show. You don't want to talk about that? Whatever. That's fine. And I don't even care about the McAfee part of it all that much. If you want to get into a wider discussion about media and journalism, I guess we can.
Yeah.
I don't care about it. I just know that's how it works. McAfee says, all right, Bill, you're coming on the show. Bill says, I don't want to talk about that. McAfee says, fine. We have Bill. We're paying him all this money. People want to tune in to hear him. If people question my journalistic integrity, oh, well.
All right.
I got Bill Belichick.
So,
that's how it works.
I know you don't want to talk about McAfee, but and I know this is apples to oranges because we are a local show. He is a national show. But if we were offered Bill Belichick and they were like, hey, you just can't talk about the Patriots, would you even take him?
Our show?
We couldn't.
No.
Like, we couldn't.
No.
But, like, another national show, I also feel like this particular Monday, the day after the game.
If I were McAfee, I would.
Yeah, I guess you would. Well, I think it's already part of the deal. And,
yeah.
like, he's going to get a lot of viewers, and people are going to be talking about it.
I get
it,
Bill every week, but I can't make Bill look bad in the interview with the Patriots? Fine.
It's also insane, though, that you have him on for 40 minutes and not 10. Like, it's 10 minutes, and if you're whatever, like, Monday Night Football's on your network, it's all very incestuous. You want to talk about that stuff. I kind of get
point.
It. But, like, you are it's a 40-minute show.
Content.
Yeah, it's content, all right. Like, of all the jobs he has, and Lanny was on this first. Lanny's not super interested in what Bill or Brady has to say.
Yeah, Lanny.
And I'm kind of like, I get it.
Lanny, did you like the Manning cast last night? I know you were locked in on the Manning cast.
Yeah, right. Didn't even bother.
So, like,
oh,
I get
Peyton,
it.
You're awesome. Oh, Bill, you're awesome.
Oh, hey, Eli beat me in a Super Bowl.
A lot of back scratching, yeah. A lot of heavier stuff than that. But anyway, I just feel like how, even nationally, if you're not a Patriots fan, aren't you kind of interested? Like, let's say Andy Reid got fired by the Chiefs after, like, two bad seasons. And then he's doing 8 media jobs. And Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, whatever, they grind out a win the next week. You're not asking Andy Reid about the Chiefs?
Of course you are. If you have any journalistic integrity. But, like, I'm telling you right now, if I was doing a national show and they're like, you get Bill every week, you can't make him look bad on the Pats. I'd probably say, all right, fine.
No, yeah, probably. Because it's not a huge loss.
I don't
McAfee.
Have integrity.
Yeah.
On this show.
McAfee's getting paid pretty well just to have these fluff guests.
Yeah. In New England, we would have to. McAfee doesn't have to. Although, what you just said is a great point. If it's a 10-minute interview, maybe it gets lost.
Maybe. I still feel like it's the first question. But
40 minutes.
Yeah. You had it on for a while.
Two episodes of, if I'm watching on, you know, your Netflix or HBO Max or whatever, 2 episodes of Seinfeld. You can't squeeze two questions, a question about the Patriots. You can't do it.
But what's crazy
even
is
even joke about how, hey, Bill, they didn't miss. Hey, Bill, they didn't miss you.
Well, if they lose and when they lose, they're for sure going to talk about it.
I was just going to say, like, take away the team. Take away that it was the Patriots and Bengals. You would ask Bill about the biggest upset in week one.
Also good point. True.
Good
yes.
Point.
Yes, you're right. Well, how did that happen? Especially a team that won on defense and special teams, which is that guy's thing.
Yeah.
And didn't ask him about it.
Nope. So
talk about that Shanahan offense.
No. And you know, this is proof that it's going to be fraudulent because it's the easiest thing in the world to predict. The Patriots get a huge win without Bill, with all Bill's guys, and they look better without Bill. Bill doesn't get a question about it. If they get smoked by Seattle while they're starting 3-0, so I take it back.
The Niners.
If there's 3-0,
week 4 when they get slammed by the Niners.
3-0 when they get slammed by the Niners.
Yeah. Bill, what do you think?
It's the whole interview.
Yeah, Bill, what happened out there?
It's going to be 10 minutes out of the 40 minutes talking about the Patriots and this.
Riding high. What happened?
You know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that will be proof that it's fraudulent and it's not a real interview.
No, it's not.
And Bill is complicit in what is asked and what's not asked. Again, because Bill's not doing real analysis. Bill's there to help his image, rehab his image, and get another job. Whether he gets another job or not, I have no idea. I would lean no as a coach. But that's what he is trying to do.
Yeah.
And coming out and talking about how great the Patriots look without him does not help Bill. It hurts Bill. And so that's the game being played. And as long as you're aware of it and you're okay with it, fine. But be aware of it. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on that. All your thoughts on the Patriots. How much credit for the Crafts, the Alex Van Pelt offense? How sustainable is it? Again, we'll get to misleading at 11:45. The leads from the Greg Hill Show, something we disagreed with, push back on. We'll do that coming up. Also, Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston at high noon here on Jones and Keefe. On the way next, Monday Night Football reaction, Keefe. Your Jets?
It was a slow start for them.
Not what you want to see.
Still on the runway.
Not what you want to see out of Aaron Rodgers and your Jets. Let's get to it next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.